you state the question. You do.
No, no, I'll forget it. I'll forget it.
So we discovered yesterday the difference between the flying knife that hits the car, which is considered age 5, and the flying tree that hits the car, which is considered 4, is one is being powered by wind, and therefore is 5. One is being powered and pushed down by gravity, and then is considered a ball. We started to analyze why it should be different between wind or gravity that should make the difference whether it's considered a fire or ball, a hole. So we go back to the original definition, or classic definition, of what essential for ball is, beginning of the period, was that it has to be stationary. For some reason, being powered by wind is not considered stationary, but being powered and pushed down by gravity is considered stationary. So we wanted to know, therefore, what's the translation of stationary under these circumstances. So we went back to what we said our first shot yesterday, how the Nachas Dovid understood stationary. And we'll just read 3 lines of that Nachas Dovid again, just to remind ourselves how he defines what stationary is, and that's called a bar, and why that, therefore, gravity is considered stationary. So he says the following. The Nachas Dovid, the first Maramok. Iga Chilik, the main difference, Shebein Bala Ish, between a hole and fire, because the Ish, Holach Amasik, cause the fire moves and damages, seeks and destroys. Umasik and Nizik, and it can search and discover what it wants to damage, the whole Mokum Shu, wherever it wants, it's not limited to going to wherever it wants. That's what fire does. When wind is pushing it, it can go anywhere. The bar, however, with a hole, who will have the damage of a hole is the opposite. Shamazik omed al amadu. That the one damaging is in a certain, limited to a certain area. Vanizik soch levar lamokamahu. And if the bar, the hole is going to damage, the one getting damaged has to go into that area to be affected by it. Kadesh Yochan also, in order to be damaged. So no, I say nothing stop it. Stationary, which is a bar, and moving, which is fire, means, in other terms, this is that the power of Eish, being a mazik, is not limited by any space. It can, when it's powered by wind, it can go anywhere it wants. But the bar, by definition, needs the cooperation, so to speak. Cooperation of the one being damaged in order to affect any damage. He says, I can only damage you, says the bar, if it comes into my territory. So if you come into my territory, then I can damage you. If you can't, then I can't damage you. So I need your cooperation in order to be able to damage you. So I'm limited. So therefore, the definition of bar is I need the help of the nizik, the one being damaged, in order he has to partake of his own downfall in order me to cause any damage to him. How does that? He has to go into my territory. Whereas with fire, it's possible for me to damage you, or to be the fire to damage without any help from the item being damaged, and therefore he's considered a fire. So stationary means, in other words, intrinsic cooperation of the one being damaged. Moving means I don't really need your help to damage you. So if so, then we understand, says Nachas Dovid, a wind which is pushing a fire in theory doesn't need the help of the nizik to damage it. Yeah? I don't need you to cooperate. I, with my wings, can affect you without you being involved in theory. But with a hole, or even with a tree, which is being pushed by gravity and nothing else, by gravity is limited to areas, and therefore, in order for that gravity push on the tree to actually damage anything, it needs, essentially, on all circumstances, help former one be damaged to actually enter into the territory of area to be damaged, so therefore the tree therefore fits into the conditions of a bar, and therefore the halachas of bar apply because we're talking about gravity, which means you need cooperation of the one being damaged to get damage in those circumstances. Whereas wind doesn't in theory need it, so therefore even if you have it, it doesn't really change the status of this. This is really called fire, this is called bomb. So that's the Nachas Dovid's first explanation of what's called stationary, what's called moving. Stationary just means you need cooperation, yes you do. Moving, I don't really need cooperation, therefore winds, which is putting fire, doesn't need the cooperation, so therefore it's called Aish. But the gravity, which is pushing the tree, does need cooperation, and therefore it's called a bomb.
Reuven builds a house. Shimon's next door. Shimon plants a tree after the house is already there. The tree grows, and then years later, the tree now falls. And the house was actually there before.
It doesn't matter the sequence of cooperation. It's just that at some stage, either you two already be there before or afterwards, doesn't matter. I'm limited for my area. Right. My reign of influence is a very limited reign. I have no control after that, and therefore I needed you to be here before or afterwards, so therefore you needed to have some sort of say in why you're being damaged.
What about the head of the wall to the dam? There's a crack in the dam, and the place can say, please fix this dam in 8 days, and the guy fixes it in 9 days, or any fourth down. The water now floods through the dam, and there's no limit to where the water will go. Yeah. So the question is that like Aish, or is that like the tree?
So water,
it's still limited, very much limited. No more than the fire, I think.
It has the help of the window, the water.
But water doesn't have the help
of anything.
It has the help of radius and gravity and therefore.
That's why to me it's a halfway house.
It's not really a halfway house because it's like a tree because it has limited.
Even though it could be miles and miles.
It could be miles, but it's still limited. It's only miles because of the gradients and the pressure.
It's one that happened that many hundreds of miles to the Yangtze in China. This thing is this massive for
thousands of people. It's just one big bar.
It's like that. The sewage pipe. You open it up and then it causes damage further down.
So that was our first explanation. Let us see. A second explanation which is given by another Acharon called Rav Nochum. He's quoting over here the Ran, so one of you showed him. But he has a different way of understanding the difference between varnish, and therefore the difference between gravity and being pushed by wind. Let's try to understand what he said. Now, this is a bit of a more in-depth analysis. So we're going to go a bit slowly, piece by piece, to understand what is his definition of bar and why is that means gravity is bar. A completely different way of looking at it. It says the wording, let's see his wording over here, of the run, basically, this is the run. He's got certain questions, we'll see what his question is later. This is the Ram's question, it's one of the Shem's questions, and this is the Ram's lesson on how to answer his question. Well, it's not relevant to the question at the moment. He says, Ein chiyuv nezokin ela bekoach ubepol. You can't be charged for damages. Can't be charged for damages unless there's some sort of power, some sort of force. Yeah, this is number two. Yeah, on your list. Yeah. And at the court, this is some sort of force, a pole, something, activity. You got it? I think you seem to be confused. I just gave it just now. It's the sheet that's right next to you.
We just give it.
What's that into?
You don't get charged for damages unless involved in that damages there's some sort of force, some sort of activity going on, action. But Mashabasur, so therefore we can understand with fire, which is being powered by winds, there is an activity going on, there is a force called wind. Wind is the engine, it's directing it, it's pushing it. Yeah? There's an activity going on. Okay, now once there's an activity of the wind, what do we say about it? You lit, the person lit the fire, and then the wind took over, and the wind is being very active, it's moving it with force. Roinus, what we say, Roin, ki ilu, also ki ilu hu bekacha, otam ha'deshuhu matua. We, the chiddush of fire, is that, the damage of fire, is that we consider, the Torah considers, that activity which the wind is doing, a positive activity, is ki ilu the man himself is doing it, because he lit this fire with full knowledge that a normal wind will move it. So when the wind actually moves it, we can see it as that a man himself is moving it and moving it along, and he's being active and he's physically pushing it. That's with winds and fire. Abu Hayyarit al Amas. But when you're talking about gravity pushing down a tree, rainbow coil. When we look at it and the tree is falling down, we do not see any pushing power here. No, we don't see any activity here. We don't see any activity going on. Shakar. And the Shemachlus Kveta, who you read this, we always see is that it's because it's heavy, it's falling, but we don't see anything actively pushing it. Bafim Hoko, if you would say, the Nasa Zebako, and even if it kills something as it's falling down, it's not been killing with a positive activity koa. There's no power that's going there to kill. Okay. Kill with the air on it, it's the stone that kills. That's it, there you go. So that's the wording of the Rambam. The Rambam says that's the massive difference between fire and bar. Meaning that fire is really means a damage which is taking place with a not passive act, it's a active act. Yeah? The damage is taking place, and the damage is taking at the time of damage, an active act is taking place, not a passive act. There's the wind who's active and pushing and damaging with the fire, and with the wind is the man himself, and it's like the man pushing the fire as he's damaging, he's pushing. He's actually involved at the time of damage in an active act, he himself in the form of the wind. Whereas a ball, a classic hole, is at the time of the damage, there's no activity on behalf of the damage that's taking place, it's all passive. And the mayor, since the difference is between active or passive, that's the difference between fire at the time of damage, being actively damaging or passively damaging, that's the chilek between fire and with fire. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we say that wind is called active and gravity is called passive. Those are his words. Now, of course, now we're just going to fine-tune our understanding of exactly all these wordings that we say. Okay, you're telling me the difference between fire and bar as one is an active act of damaging, one is only a passive act of damaging. That was actually one of the ways of looking at it, as we saw from the spatula. Okay? And your chiddush is, you say that wind is called active, and you're telling me that gravity is called passive. But we're not looking about your negligence. We want to know the actual time of damage. What damaged this item? In an active way or in a passive way? So he's saying, wind pushing things, by definition, wind pushing the fire is being actively, the wind, not just the person, the wind is actively damaging the item. And with the fire together. with gravity. Gravity is not called actively involved over here. It's just falling, and therefore the time the damage happens through the tree hitting the car. The tree is not actively damaging the car. The tree is only passively damaging the car. Okay?
Assuming it's not blown over by a hurricane then.
Assuming, yeah, of course, we're not talking about winds, we're talking about only gravity. Okay? So, let's just ask a question then. A simple question. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I understand the difference. One's active, one's passive. And you're saying the fire is active, and you're saying the wind is active, you're saying gravity is passive. Okay. But let's get back to our original thinking is why? Why is gravity considered passive? Yeah, use nice words and say gravity is passive. I demonstrated yesterday when I stood that up that there's a constant force, which is, I can't say it, pushing on me, and pushing on the human being. And when he can't combat that force with his energy, automatically the force which is pushing, wins and pushes the person on the floor and who is in the tree. So why is gravity any different from the wind? Why is the wind, you're saying, is active because it's pushing? Gravity is also pushing. So why are you saying the words that gravity is not active, it's passive? Why is it called passive? Why is it less active than winds? Wind is, for some reason, I understand wind is active, it's pushing, yeah, it's doing things, yeah, and that's how even damage takes place, even the time of damage is pushing. Okay, understand, that's why it's called active. Why by gravity suddenly you don't say that? Gravity is also pushing. No, you're saying no, gravity, I say that's called passive. The gravity is not, it's his words, it's the weight of the item that's damaging. It's not the weight of the item damaging, it's gravity force pushing it. That's damaging. So why is gravity force pushing less active than wind, basically?
Well, wind is traveling. It's a motion, movement, and out. You know, as opposed to gravity, it's always here's the surface. Here you are, no matter where you are, you have the force going straight down.
It's also pushing
down. It's going down, but it's not
so going goes this way, and this goes this way, that makes a difference.
Yeah, but no one, unless somebody's directly underneath you, I mean, it's the same.
Okay.
It's just down.
What's the difference if it's north, south, east, west? What's the difference? Yes?
So, gravity is constant. It's always the same, never changing. Whereas the ruach is variable.
Okay, so let's take that physical fact and try and use it to understand why we're saying gravity is passive. Very good. Moshe says that gravity is a big difference from winds because it's constant, it's uniform, it's always there. Therefore, memela, when something happens, it's called passive. Why? Okay, I have to now use that and understand why. Because it's constant, constant is always there. That means that when anything happens, it's called passive. So I look at the world, looks at what happens, and this person or this tree suddenly falls. Yes? Why didn't it fall a second ago? 2 seconds ago, why didn't it fall? His energy, the tree's energy, yeah, was keeping it up. Tree's power.
It was equal.
Yeah, it was equal. So therefore, what changed? What changed that made it fall? What changed that made it fall? Was it an active act that made it, some active act, some event happened that made it fall? Or something passive, negative made it fall? What happened that made it fall in the evidence? Was it an outside force that suddenly got power, more power? Oh. Yeah, the second wind, if you want to call it, extra strength. No, it's something negative. I took something away and now it fell. What happened to make it fall? Yeah, so it's taking away the energy. That was fighting the gravity. Then it fell. So what the end of the day made it fall and caused the damage? I wouldn't say the main thing that made it fall and caused the damage was not the gravity push. I would say what happened that actually caused the damage was taking away the strength, the power that was fighting the gravity. That made it fall. That's a passive act. Unlike with the wind with pushing the fire, for sure it's what made it damage is the constant power which is in being imparted into the fire from the wind and pushing, now damages. So it's an active act that caused the damage. Whereas with the tree falling and damaging, it's a passive act that actually caused the damage. Taking away the energy, that caused damages. So that's why wind is called active and gravity is called passive. Because we want to know the second before the damage happens, what changed to make the damage? Was it an active act that changed that made the damage? Or was it a passive act which actually resulted in the end state of the damage? Okay. So now, we have therefore two explanations why gravity is considered a ball. From these two often. Is gravity considered a ball because it's called really stationary because it's limited? Or is gravity considered a bar because it's a passive act of damaging that takes place when gravity is involved? We're saying gravity, what's the end of the day why gravity is considered a bar? You can't say both. You say, it's because of this or because of that. Bar has one factor that's characteristic that is defined as a bar. Is the reason why it's a bar because it's stationary, or the reason why it's bar is because it's passive? The answer is, there's two ways of looking at it from the two different things of Auckland. We know gravity is a bar, but why? Is it because it's type of stationary? That's the first way of saying it. It's called stationary gravity. Or because it's passive? When we get back to our question of the cipher, when you make a fire inside the hole and the soot gets burnt in that fire at the bottom of the hole, the cipher asks, is it a damage of fire or is it damage in the category of bar? And he said, well, it depends. What makes a bar a bar? Is it because it's stationary? This is also stationary. But if it's because a bar has to be passive in the actual act of damage, then this is not passive, this is active. So the answer to the question whether burning the soups is ash or bar will depend on these two achronim. Why gravity is called bar? If gravity is called bar because it's passive, fire, even in the bottom of a hole, is never passive, it's always active, and therefore even a hole, a fire, the bottom of a hole will be high on the damage of the soup. But if the reason why gravity is still a ball is because it's stationary, it's limited in its boundaries, it has boundaries, you have to go there to get damaged, then therefore the suit that gets burnt in the bottom of the bar of the fire, that fire is also limited. It's the type of fire which you created which is totally limited. So therefore it's in the category of bar and if you report on that suit. So it depends on those two opinions. Okay. Now, so what we're going to, since this is one of our last year, I don't know if it's last year, either last year or second last year, okay, depending how far we go now, we'll actually do something a bit strange to what we've been learning on the one half. Normally we don't touch halakha, we learn ma'aseh. But then this one, we've learned to double on the base, which is really with one sugya. Mamish, we finished the sugya, one whole sugya, in its entirety. Yeah? So now, based on what we just said, we're going to ask a question which you don't normally ask. So we've got two opinions out there. Which one halachically is the valid opinion in halacha of defining what a bar is and an afkamina for this suit? So if you look at your next Ma'amakam, We're going to quote number three. Number three, we're going to quote Meisler Halacha. A Shaila was sent to the Grossman on the famous Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael. And Grossman. That's Rav Grossman from Migdal HaMeir. So his father. On the famous Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael. And the British Shaila was sent to the Grossman and to the Stipler. Let's read the Shaila inside. It happens, a story with a certain worker. He left on the steps of the ladder, on one of the steps of the ladder, he left a Malkah Chaim, a type of bucket. The ace, Shetikin Es Helektari, he's a Chasmali. He was fixing the electrics. In the ceiling, and he left his electrical buckets wherever on one of the rounds of the ladder. Hapoya, what happens? He went, left it there, and he came down. He left it on the steps, that box. And the worker came down, Mao Sulam. And that bucket, box, whatever you want to call it, was stationary for a quarter of an hour on the steps of one of the ladder. It was so, what happened after a quarter of an hour? Ovis hamakachayim es shovi hamishkal. After a quarter of an hour, the bucket lost its balance. The nofal, and it fell. Umnefilasa, and in the course of falling, it broke a chandelier, a very expensive chandelier, as it was falling. In Shaltis, I was asked, in Rabol, Chayv le Shalem, is he Chayv to pay for that? That's an expensive chandelier. Obviously, it's a gold, because it caused the damage through the bucket, the box falling. Osha Potter, maybe he's Potter. No. What's therefore the Shaila based on? What's the two sides of the coin? What's the possibility? Why should you be potter if the bucket breaks a expensive chandelier? Because it may be considered bar. A bar is potter on Kaven. Kaven is chandelier. Even if it's called Kaka, also a bar is potter on damage to Kaka, like Kaven. Okay. On the other hand, maybe it's not called bar, the falling buckets. What could it be? Because it's damaging as it's falling. It's ace. Maybe it's ace. So basically, Shaila is this the case like the knife that's falling and smashing the car, and therefore it's ace? Or is it like the tree falling and smashing the car, and therefore it's bar, and there's going to be potter? What's got this with this bucket on this ladder? So, first question to ask. We know that the whole difference between tree and knife is one is a wind pushing it and one is gravity. Gravity, if it's pushing it, is called bar. And we have two explanations why. You say that, but once it's gravity, it's bar. If it's wind, it's fine. What made this bucket fall? What made this bucket fall? Wind or gravity? What made it fall? I don't want the professor to talk yet of physics.
No, it's not physics.
Yeah, okay, I don't want physics.
No,
according to the wording.
No,
so how did it lose its shidduch?
After 15 minutes?
Quarter hour is okay.
And then it lost.
No one pushed it.
No one runs in a breaker.
No one's breaking it.
It wasn't equally balanced on the step. It was more on the step than less on it. Than it would have fallen. It was more opposite of falling the stress. It's clearly right on the balance of where it can kill the soil.
Okay, it's right on the balance. Okay, so what actually made it fall in the end? It was caught an hour, okay? So what happens?
Knees buckled. It's just knees buckled. There's a slight weakness in the
fasted.
It's like what? Weakness.
It's a weakness and a fasted. They just decided to kill them.
No, I see. I can give you an explanation.
Okay.
I can give you an explanation. Inside of these bugs, there's also some
items.
These items by itself can move because they are. By itself, because if there's one screwdriver staying, like you said, in balance, finally it's keep up. And as soon as done, right now,
okay. So that's it. Pastures, not the other outside force. The reason why it fell was because of gravity. It took time for the methods of gravity to actually push it over. Of course, gravity. Okay. So therefore, it's not wind, no nothing. What pushed this box onto the expenses from the owner, you would say, is gravity. So what should be good in if it's gravity?
Potter.
It's like a tree, it should be potter. Okay. That's the pastures, how we would just answer it according to how we went to support. Not always. Let us go back to the second shot, why gravity. Why is gravity considered a bomb? The second shot which we introduced today. Because it's considered passive. Yeah? Because what changed just before the damage took place? A passive act removing energy. So this is called passive. Okay. The person who says this shot is all based on the run. It's one of the Rishonim. And the reason why the Ran was saying Pshat, because he had a question to answer. Now let us look what his question was actually. What was his question that he's trying to answer? What was the question? From his question, we'll see and try and work out further details in this Pshat. So if you look in number 4, so we see the wording of the Ran's question. In that Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says, "V'zorek soru lamala." Somebody throws a stone up in the air. Now, eventually, this stone hits somebody and kills him. The stone, we're talking about the death penalty over here. Somebody threw a stone with intention, let's say, to kill somebody, and threw a stone up in the air, and then that stone hit the person, and he dies. You want to know whether to give the death penalty. Now, of course, if somebody gets killed through Goroma, unless he's a Goy that's doing the Goroma, a Jew who kills through Goroma is not a Chayav Mitzvah. Has to be considered an action of his. So, what happens? So, Zorak Solomon, he threw the stone in the air, and the Gemara says, the whole Chulah stood him, and the stone didn't go vertically up and then vertically down. It went up like with an arch and then landed on the guy. Went to one of the sides and landed on the guy. It's an arch stroke and landed on the guy. Okay. Then the person who threw the stone is Chayav Mitzvah. He killed the guy. He killed him. Mashna, since the Rav emphasized from that wording, it's Mashna. The Osus Latachat, if he throws it perpendicularly up, but doesn't go in arch, it just falls perpendicularly down from where it came from and lands on that guy, then you're potter, you're off the hook. Why? She'ena b'kach shalom, it's not considered as you did anything. It's no actively involvement of killing the guy. Maybe Gwama, but actively. She'u potter, it's implied from the case of the one. You're potter, off the hook. And he hits you, so therefore I've got a question. Heich lo tiyazuk as yizok lamalam. After you shot him, why, when you throw it perpendicularly up and it goes straight down, why is it not any worse than avinu sekinyam asurish and yikadosh legam? Than putting the knife on the ledge and the wind blowing it, why over there it's considered your fire, your damage, you have to pay. The wind blows the knife off and it hits the car, breaks the car. You damage the car. You have to pay. So why, when you perpendicularly throw the stone up and perpendicularly go straight down and kills the guy, you didn't do anything. You caused something, but you didn't actually kill the guy. You're off the hook. What's the difference between that and the knife? That was the question, which was the run was asked. And therefore he came up with the answer that it's coming down because of nothing, because of only one force that's pushing it down, That's called gravity. Gravity is passive. It's not active. Passive, you're not chayv for killing something passively. You're only chayv if you actively kill somebody. Goes through the arch, you're chayv. But if it goes, person upside down, then that's called passive and not chayv. Okay, that's what he's coming to answer, and that's why he comes up with this theory. That gravity is passive, and therefore you're off the hook. For damages, you're off the hook for killing, because you didn't actively kill this guy. It's passive, and you're just original cause, that's more of a problem. That's where it comes. Now. Okay, now I know your question. I've got a bit of a discussion on how to understand your answer. Up to now, understood. Wind is active. So, gravity is always passive, because gravity is the reason why it's moving, is because there was a passive act called taking away some energy, now the gravity, now it moves, because otherwise it wouldn't move. Okay. If so, I've got a simple question. Yes. So what's the difference if it goes straight up, straight down, or goes an arch? At the end of the day, even if it goes up an arch, why is it now going down over here?
There's a component of this.
Right. It's a combination of the two energies.
Why is it going forward? Okay. He had the energy pulling up, and now suddenly the energy he had pulling up is now stopped at the top of the arc, and it's now coming down, and it's now kills somebody over there. Yeah. So as the reason why it fell down, yes. Is also because of gravity, and it should also be passive. So I understand if it's a constant arch, like Dr. Dinner says, that it's pushing down, but you're also always involved because it's always moving as well. So even when it gets hit, it's also moving to the side at the same time, and therefore your energy is still there. But if it goes up and then at the top. Peaks, and then if it doesn't further go over, it much stops and goes straight down. Goes straight down means your energy is no longer involved at all at that stage. And the implication of the law says you still be chayav shita, because in order to be potter, it has to go straight up, straight down, and not move to the sides at all. That's okay, so you move to the sides, and you're no longer involved, and it goes straight down, and that should also be passive.
No, it's not passive.
Why is it not passive over there? If that's the case.
Yes. Maybe there's a wind or something that's moving to the side. What's moving it to the side?
No winds. No winds in the sugya. He moved it to the side, but now when it actually comes down, he's not doing anything. It's gravity.
But he directed it.
Not him at all. And directed by Brahma. That's all direction means, just Brahma. It has to be active at the time of impact.
Firing an arrow, it's always like the stone's going out. It's always going to be. It's always
going to
be. You cannot get out of
an
arrow. It's not going to be straight like that. It's going to go
up. Okay, but it's always moving forward.
Yes, but
so is it. No, this is not always moving. I've just given you a scenario. Yes, if it goes up, it doesn't go down. It goes straight down.
Exactly.
Then
it's just like falling into
a pit. So you give a bottle. Yeah, and the Gemara is implicit that if it doesn't land vidiyuk in the place of the person who threw it, you're going to be chayav. Why? Well, I found scenarios that you should be
doing
that.
It was straight down.
So what completely could you do? You need to find what passive,
And therefore, look at the clock. Therefore, you are cut off.
Okay, good. So
what's going to be is it's going to be on Shabbos, Shir 4:30 in this room. So Rabbi Eisenberg's Shir at 5:25.
Is he having Shir?
Officially, yeah.
No, because Rabbi.
Alper's not having Shir, but Rabbi Eisenberg is given the Shir. Okay. Shir, okay. 5:25. So 4:30. The Shir will start at 5:25. And we'll do also something that's different, because then we're doing Chazor. 4:30 in this room.
Okay.
6:50. 4:30 is what we'll be sharing here, and we'll continue where we left off. We'll continue where we left off to get this bit clear. Yeah? And we'll discuss what, if there's going to be any hemshich or not, or not on that. But the full festival is returned on Shabbos. We'll be in here. You're mid there. You're mid there. We'll stop in mid there.
I don't think that, I mean, you play no better than me then. If you throw it.